Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we are live. Welcome to the NBA Strategy Show. It is Thursday, May 2nd. I am Josh Engelman, here to break down our two games for today. Bucks, Pacers, 6:30 start, game 6. Knicks, Sixers, 9 p.m. start, game 6. Going to be a fun one today. Two very different games. I'm excited to break it down. I hope you guys are as well. So hit that like button, subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you know when everything goes live. Follow me on Twitter at Josh Engelman. Shout out to Sleeper as well, sponsor of this show, up to $500 on your first deposit. Link is in the description if you're looking to sign up. They've got dynamic payouts that give multipliers on either side. It's not just even action. You can get up to 100x payouts. You could use Odds Shopper if you're looking for additional plays. They've got free squares on an almost daily basis that help keeps your costs down. What's not to like here for Sleeper? Make sure you're signing up using that link. Good morning, everybody. Good to be back in the old house, back at the desk, looking at a Milwaukee Indy game to start. That is way more appealing than Knicks Sixers. And then you pray for 9 o'clock that you get the right pieces. I'm excited for it, though. Some of my exposures are terrifying. Some are extra terrifying, which would be in the Knicks Philly game. But we'll break down all of it. Now, there's only so much that we can say about these teams at this point. When you get to game 6 in the playoffs, in a series, you start to run out of speech at some point. Like, there's only so much you could say about why Chris Middleton looks like a good play when he's playing 40 minutes. S&P, I completely agree. Glad the Heat are finally dead. Yeah, I did not need them guys showing up like zombies and doing something. I'm glad they got smacked. It was helpful. Hit my Prize Picks card yesterday thanks to Bam Adebayo not having to play the full game. That was helpful. Because it was close. Or it was getting close, at least. So, good morning, everybody. As everybody slowly trickles in the door, I think we can get this one started and start talking about the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, I don't expect a ton of changes. Coming out of their last game, it went well for Milwaukee. We didn't see Jay Crowder play last time out, which is kind of wild to think about. But let's deal with the guys that are getting the most love. Bobby Portis is 50% owned. He's 7,700. He's power forward center eligible. I gave him 39 minutes, and he's in 96% of my lineups right now. I have him as the number 2 overall play. We have him 38% optimal, 49% owned. Bit of negative leverage on him, but both he and Middleton are right around 38% optimal. And then we get Pat Bev actually at 44% optimal. I'm less of a believer in Pat Bev. Certainly went quite well for him last time out. I went 35 minutes. I don't think I'm being stingy with his playing time. I like his positional eligibility, but 5,600 is a pretty big price tag for Pat Bev. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's going to be in and around 0.8 to 0.85 fantasy points per minute. I kind of feel like he's a little overowned. We have him projected for 30 fantasy points. I have 27.8. That's really the biggest differentiator for us right now, is that I'm a little bit lighter on Pat Bev. I'm a little bit heavier on the ownership for Chris Middleton. He's 35% owned. He's in 50% of my lineups. So, like, getting to Portis and Middleton, I don't really see a scenario where you avoid those dudes. I think they're great by default. Brook Lopez is the guy that I'm quite a bit over the field on. He's 15% owned. I have him in 32% of my lineups, so more than 2xing the field. He's 6,200. He's center only. I went 36 minutes. I think Brook Lopez is live to play even more than that if he can. The season's over if they don't win, and it's not like they've got a lot of talent behind him. I think Lopez is getting slept on a bit. For a two-game slate, I think a 15% owned Brook Lopez is a guy that you want to pay attention to. Do I like his counterpart on the opposite side more? I do. But I think Brook Lopez should be more owned than 15%. With no Dame and no Giannis, at least that's the expectation, Brook Lopez is just going to be involved offensively more than you're expecting. I took his over on Prize Picks already for his PRA, and I'm going to be over the field on him on DraftKings because I think that 6,200 in what could be a closeout game is too cheap for someone like Brook Lopez when your two stars are out. There's not much love coming in for anything else. AJ Green and Andre Jackson aren't getting any ownership. Pat Connaughton is 20% owned. I'm light there. Beasley is 15% owned. I'm light there. I mean, dude shot the lights out last time out, but he's 4,800. His minutes are up in the air for sure. I went 31. We went 30 and a half. And we have basically similar projections. We actually have Beasley 23% optimal, 16% owned. So we actually have him with a little bit of positive leverage. I'm a little nervous on Beasley. I think I would rather have Connaughton than Beasley, but neither one of them is really showing up for me in any sort of abundance. I actually did get one share of Danilo Gallinari, who played a decent enough chunk of time. Seems to be the Jay Crowder replacement right now. 3,300, power forward center for Gallo. I don't mind the value proposition for Gallo. We have him 12% optimal, 7% owned. Lots of positive leverage on Milwaukee. But the guys that I have my eye on the most are Bobby Portis, Brook Lopez, and Chris Middleton. Chat, there's 140 of you now. I could hit you up with it. What do you guys like about Milwaukee for today? Are you guys joining me with Portis, Lopez, Middleton? Do you like something else? How do you feel about that Pat Bev fade? I'd like to know where you guys stand. I just don't think there's a lot to talk about for Milwaukee. Like, I think Portis, Lopez, Middleton, I mean, you can say whatever you want there. And then for the rest of these guys, if you have confidence in one of their bench guys, that's where it gets scary to me. Milwaukee is an awful city. Fair enough, Jordan. Fair enough. Shots fired. Shots fired. It's probably more of a playback question, but if the Clippers lose in six in the way that it appears they're going to, what on earth do they do opening a new arena next year? Hope that James Harden and maybe Kawhi Leonard are going to be a draw while Paul George plays in Philadelphia? Maybe. Okay, Milwaukee is definitely not awesome. We can't be using words like awesome to describe places like Milwaukee. That's crazy. How do you describe actual awesome places then? All right, I don't have anything else for the Bucks. So let's look at the opposite side of this game. The Indiana Pacers. Now, the Pacers look better than the Bucks. The Pacers are the most owned team by, I don't know, 25-30% easy. We have 50% ownership to Aaron Nesmith, 50% ownership to Miles Turner, and about 50 to Andrew Nembhard. I have 88% of Aaron Nesmith. I have 90% of Miles Turner, and I have 50% of Andrew Nembhard. I think Miles Turner is the number one play today at 7,200. I have Aaron Nesmith ranked fourth. I have Nembhard 10th. I have Halliburton 8th. I have Pascal Siakam 9th. That's five guys from the Pacers in the top 10. But I want all of the Miles Turner. I love this matchup for him, especially as Milwaukee gets worse and worse with guys missing. I don't think 7,200 is all that crazy. I think you get big minutes. You know, I went 37 for Turner, but he's in almost everything that I did. We have Turner 54% optimal. We have Aaron Nesmith 54% optimal. These guys are in 90% of my lineups. I don't know how I get away from them. Nembhard is 40% optimal. Halliburton is 40% optimal. I'm a little light on Halliburton, but I'm also a little over on Siakam. So I could handle that sort of dynamic. I'm way light on TJ McConnell. Toppin is fine. I think Ben Shepherd is pretty sneaky at 3,100 if you need to find one paydown option that's random. But I mean, look at this. I have 10% or more of everybody in the Pacers rotation. Everybody, the whole team. Everybody's in at least 10%. Three guys north of 50. I think the Pacers are a pretty easy team to look at for today. I do think that there's a path to more minutes for some of these starters, given what this game is. But I think Miles Turner is your best option. Somewhere around 1.2 fantasy points per minute in this spot. 24% usage. You know, I got him at 6.1x his salary. I have him projected for 44. I only think he needs 40. So think about it like that. I have Aaron Nesmith projected for 29. I think he only needs 28. I mean, we're talking about greater than 50-50 propositions of hitting target scores. That's why I'm getting to Miles Turner and Aaron Nesmith so much. That Nesmith position and price and playing time, it's just you need so little out of him, especially for how he's usually pretty active defensively. Like if you get three stocks, I mean, just taking him down to needing 22 PRA is really helpful. What do you guys think about the Pacers here? Who stands out most to you? Because obviously Turner and Nesmith are my dudes, and I'm aggressively fading TJ McConnell. Do you guys want to join me for a TJ McConnell fade? We have McConnell negative 11 leverage, 22% optimal, 33% owned. We have Toppin negative 11 leverage, 8% optimal, 19% owned. Where you guys want to go here with Indiana? Yeah, probably three Pacers in every lineup is going to be like my most likely build. Between two and three is the average. There's 260% ownership. Sky likes Ben Shepherd. That works. Jack loves Turner, Nembhard, and Shepherd. Turner and Nembhard, yeah. But look, we're all on the same page here, I think. Miles and Nembhard. I really, really like Miles Turner. But so does everybody else at 54% ownership. S&P, yes. I think we're live to see Toppin play a couple less minutes and we get one of those Isaiah Jackson rotations. Ron, only some Nesmith mixed in? Mix in more. Fade Turner for Lopez. I would like to play them both together. Yeah, I do, S&P, I'm with you there. I do think there is downside to Obi Toppin today. Whether they go to Pascal Siakam at the five, whether they go to Isaiah Jackson, because it only takes a couple minutes. You're like, oh, just 4 minutes of Isaiah Jackson is massive for Obi Toppin. So it really doesn't take much. Halliburton's just the guy that I'm having trouble getting to because he just isn't looking for his own shot in the way that he was at the beginning of the season. And I think that makes it hard. I still have him at 1.23 fantasy points per minute, but I think it's just easier to get to the other pieces, especially with the way that Siakam's been cooking. But ultimately, I'm over the field as a whole on Indiana. I have 318% They're 259. This is just the team I want to get to, and that works for me. They're the home team. They lost the last game. I expect them to win here. I want to have more of the team that's going to win. So that's where I stand on Indiana. Any further thoughts on the Pacers? We got a lot more to talk about. Let's say we can sign up for Sims Tools. We have links for the Sims in the description. You get projections, you get ownership, contest generator, lineup generator, access to premium Discord. You can sign up for whatever you're looking for using the link in the description. You can sign up for Odds Shopper. If you live in a legal sports betting state, or if you play at the Pick'em sites, Odds Shopper is what you're looking for. We take a market-based approach to beating the books. We give you expected value, expected win rate. We have optimizers for the Pick'em sites, parlay builders and odds boost calculators for the sports books, live odds screen with plenty of advanced data that you can dig into if you want to. Everything is right there for you. Shop around, get the best line possible for whatever you're looking to place. That is what Odds Shopper can give you. You can sign up for Odds Shopper using the links in the description. All right, let's go to game two. Knicks, 3-point dogs in Philly, 198.5 total. Reminder that these teams are slow and they lean defense. Very flat ownership on the Knicks. 30% to Brunson, 30% to McBride, 30% to Ananobi, just shy of 30% to Josh Hart, 20 to Hartenstein, 15 to Mitchell Robinson. My personal favorite Nick is Miles McBride. He's relative to ownership, that is. He's 4,200. He's got point guard, shooting guard eligibility. They seem to really enjoy having him out there, more so than Dante DiVincenzo in this series. I went 28 minutes to McBride, especially now with no Boyan and the fact that they didn't seem all that interested in going to Precious Achiuwa in game five. McBride at 31% owned. I have 66. It's one of my biggest stands of the day. We have McBride 25% optimal, 31% owned. So slightly less believers. I actually have him with an extra 1.5 in fantasy points. I like the value that I'm getting out of Miles McBride. I'm neutral on Jalen Brunson, 9,700. I went 43 minutes. You know, could be 44, 45. I have a hard time going a little bit higher. But he looks good. You know, I have him ranked sixth overall. We have Jalen Brunson, 25% optimal, 30% owned. But we have Mitchell Robinson, 20-something. Hartenstein, 20-something. McBride, 25. Ananobi, 36. Jalen Brunson, 25. It's just a lot of guys that look similar. Like, I'm getting some Hartenstein, but not a ton. I'm neutral to Brunson. I'm getting some Hart for once, but not a ton. I'm neutral on OG Ananobi at 6K. Only guy that I'm not really getting to is Mitchell Robinson. Scares me a little bit. I don't have a single lineup with him, but his per minute stats aren't that great. I think they might look at either less than 48 minutes of center play or a little bit more of Precious to try and do a little bit more switching. And I don't think that's going to benefit Mitchell Robinson's minutes upside. So not getting to Mitchell Robinson, I'm okay with, but I definitely want to like not get to one of the Knicks centers. I don't have a great feel for which one's which for today. But like, it's obvious you still want the Knicks, and I expect I'm picking the Knicks to win this game. The problem is the total in this game is 16 points less than the first game. It's just so much less interesting. Not to mention, there's very little wiggle room in this Knicks rotation other than probably DiVincenzo and McBride's relationship. Like, DiVincenzo's 5,700. We have him 7% owned. We know what it takes for DiVincenzo to get himself into the rotation a little bit more from a playing time perspective. You just have to have it happen. But like, if the threes are falling, then DiVincenzo will be out there. If they're not, then he won't be. And they're going to switch to McBride's defense. And then I don't think there's any path where you could actually go to someone like Precious Achiuwa. But McBride, to me, is the clear easiest option to get to from the Knicks. What do I think OG's ownership looks like on FanDuel? Well, since I didn't paste that in, I'll just do that. 59% is what we have. He's the highest owned guy on the slate. Robinson's job is to stop Embiid. Yeah, I think they're probably going to go smaller than that and do the exact same thing. But we'll see. I think they're live to go to more switchable lineups today based on the way that game five went. Oh, Ron, I think it's going to be 59%. But I think McBride's just the easiest dude. I think that price tag just slots in a much easier way. The minutes are going to be interesting here. You have to assume that Josh Hart's goal is 48. You got to assume Brunson 44 plus is like what they want because they just don't have any other choice. Nobody else can create other than Brunson, but you got to catch him a blow at some point in time to make sure that they don't just run out of gas late. I can't wait to watch this game though. I mean, this whole series has been amazing. If we can get game seven in MSG, I mean, obviously that's like the most fun scenario, but I would rather the Knicks just close them out here. Do you guys have any other Knicks thoughts? Anything you guys want to talk about on the Knicks side of the coin? If Dante DiVincenzo's price would just come down a little bit, you could make him be in an interesting spot. The Game 7 environment would just be so awesome, though, BD. Obviously, you just want the Knicks to win. But Tibbs doesn't change much. I think he sticks with Mitch Rob. Yeah, I mean, I gave Mitchell Robinson 21 minutes. But I think they have something when they go to the Brunson, McBride, Ananobi, Hart, something lineup that isn't Hartenstein or Robinson, whether that's a Chua for a couple minutes to be able to switch 1 through 5 a little bit easier, try to take away some of those threes. Because now that they're forcing Joel Embiid to put the ball on the floor, it's just a completely different series because he just doesn't have the gas to be able to do that right now. Yeah, S&P, that's where I'm leading there. They can just throw a different scheme at Philly when they go to Precious and switch more. I was surprised they didn't do it at all. Like, to just run that 7-man rotation last time out was very surprising to me. Especially when they were trying to take away threes late. Like, there was just no reason to have Mitchell Robinson out there. Sky, I have DiVincenzo's target at 31. All right, let's get to Philly. Let's close this out. This is the tough one for me. Wait till you guys see this. I know you guys are going to freak out about this ownership. Let's just get it out of the way now. Tyrese Maxey at 8,800 is projected for 5% ownership. I want to see chat's thoughts. It's 5. And I'm going to tell you what. I don't think it's crazy. We have Tyrese Maxey. 5.5% optimal, 5% owned. I only got to 10. I have him ranked 20th. Yeah, Jake, you're wrong. You're wrong. It's wild, right? It's wild. I knew people would freak out here. Does not look like a good play today. Wild. I took its under on Prize Picks. It's just an interesting dynamic where you have him being point guard only. You have him with Jalen Brunson above him, who looks like a better play at point guard. You've got Chris Middleton at 8,700 in the same salary tier that unequivocally looks better than Maxey. You've got Halliburton at 8,500, who looks just as good as Maxey. Very interesting dynamic, though, between Tyrese Halliburton's ownership and Tyrese Maxey's ownership today. I think you're live to see Maxey come in around 10. Five's probably a little low, but it's not getting to 20. I don't think you can go much higher than 44 minutes. There's just so many scenarios where these guys don't play the final 6 minutes on either side. Philly blowouts, Knicks blowouts. I just don't think you can get to a minutes projection higher than 44, maybe 45. But the key for this, S&P, and I know you know this, but like to say it for everybody else, the reason that you go to that like 44 range is if you just sit down and think like, oh, Tyrese Maxey's just going to play all 48 minutes. When you project him for that, you're immediately going to like the betting market. And you're going to have to jam every single over because you're going to be projecting him for too many minutes. So, like, that's the real problem there. The betting market will tell you the truth to a degree if you start projecting those kind of minutes. Now, let's talk about the rest of these guys. 45% ownership to Joel Embiid. 45% ownership to Kelly Oubre, 60 to Tobias Harris. Those three names, I'm way under the field on all of them. I have 16% of Oubre, who I do think looks like the number three play on the, or sorry, I have 16% of Embiid, who I do think is the number three play. I have 16% of Oubre, who I don't think grades out all that well. And I have 28% of Tobias Harris. I am a third of the field on basically all three of the dudes from the Sixers. I'm having a lot of trouble getting there. And it's not that Embiid doesn't look good at 10-7. He does. But he's in half of the lineups today. Half. I think I can just take my chances and hope that he doesn't have it. Give me Miles Turner. Give me Brooke Lopez. You know, give me Bobby Portis at a center position if you really need to. Does Embiid have the highest ceiling today? Of course. Of course. We have him 47% optimal, 47% owned. We have Tobias Harris, 56% optimal, 58% owned. We have Oubre, 47, 46. I'm just not as big of a believer in Philly from a lineup construction standpoint. This is just such a bad matchup for fantasy points. The one guy that I'm getting to is $3,500 Nick Batum. I went 29 minutes. He's 33% owned. He's in 58% of my lineups. I like the value out of Batum, but Harris, Oubre, Embiid. I'm expecting the Knicks to throw dirt on the Sixers tonight. I actually think like the most unique dude to get to is Tyrese Maxey. But if he's 10% owned, then I think that kind of goes away. What are you guys trying to do with Embiid and Oubre and Harris and the Sixers today? Do you guys like the Sixers? What do you guys think? Hell, even Campaign is getting 3% ownership right now. Kyle Lowry is getting 6% ownership. 35% Maxi. That is a stand. I like it if you're taking it away from Tyrese Halliburton. Yeah, let's see. What's the Maxi points prop right now? Maxi's points prop is 26.5. So I got him at 24.9. S&P, I appreciate you pointing that out. I'm going to throw another usage point onto Maxi, take him up to 27.5. Actually, we'll go to 28. That takes me to 26. Looking better, but still only up to 16th overall for me. I like that bump, though. Afternoon is usually where I go back through and look at like playoff rotations and rates and stuff and make those final tweaks, but I like getting that in there a little bit earlier. Yeah, my expectation for Maxi's ownership is about 10%. Five's too low. Ten seems likely. I think the Knicks are scheming Maxi today. I think they know how to handle... This is going to sound ridiculous. I think they know how to handle Embiid. Given his current health, let him get the ball anywhere. Like, as long as he doesn't establish good possession, position, let him get the ball, make him put it on the floor, and then send your help. If they can take Maxi out of this game, I think Philly just dies. Well, look, I mean, I have very little of the Philadelphia 76ers. Right now, they're 199% owned. I have 128. The Sixers are my least owned team of any team. If they're scheming Maxi, we should see McBride for 30+. Jack, I don't understand the path there. I don't think we're looking at Embiid the same way at this point in game six. He's simply just not right. And he's definitely not right in the second half. He just doesn't have gas in the tank. And any rest they try to give them is just going to get bludgeoned. I think as every game goes by, it's easier and easier to brainstorm beating Philly. Their only saving grace is the fact that Nick Nurse is really smart. And the other saving grace is the fact that the Knicks are running out of bodies. Oubre or Nesmith? Nesmith by a mile. Yeah, Pat, that's not a thing. The weirdest thing for me is that Precious doesn't get a couple extra minutes here. I think he fits this series really well. Just get that activity out there for a couple minutes and throw that switching look at Philly. Let's take a quick look at what my top lineup was coming out of the sim. That is number one in ROI, Miles McBride, Andrew Nembhard, Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, Aaron Nesmith, OG Anunoby, Miles Turner. That is a lineup that does not contain a Philadelphia 76er, just in case you're curious. But I like it. I like it. You go Nembhard, Nesmith, Turner. You go Middleton, Portis, Lopez. And you close it out with two Knicks, McBride and OG. It's the number one there, baby. For now, at least. We'll see what that all looks like moving forward. I think we can pack it in here. It's going to close it on out for today. I'm excited to start talking about some new series so we can strategize a little bit. By the way, schedule for the rest of the day coming up next, MLB Live Before Lock at 11 a.m. We've got early baseball today. And then reminder, lock tonight for Bucks Pacers is 6:30. So NBA Live Before Lock is at 5:30. Then we go to playback from 6:30 to 7:30. That's actually really smart. Alrighty, folks. We're going to get on out of here. It's going to be a fun one. Hit the like button on your way out the door. Shout out to Sleeper, sponsor of this show. Final thing, Ron, I have 16%. We'll see what that ends up looking like at 6:30 tonight. Good luck, everybody. I will talk to you guys later. This was the Strategy Show.